WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
So who cares about Nigeria? Maybe you should. Hundreds of Nigerians in a central city called Jos were brutally murdered this month by other Nigerians. Religious and ethnic conflict between Christians in the south and Muslims in the north is boiling over. The country is in the midst of a political crisis causing the kind of instability that could affect the rest of the world. Omoyole Sowore joins me now. He's the publisher of SaharaReporters.com, which covers Nigeria and other African news. He'll explain the source of the violence, how a doctor of zoology became president, what 36 billion barrels of oil reserves have to do with it, and why you should care. Omoyele, thanks a lot for coming back on WNYC. Hello.
Thank you for bringing me. Thank you.
We'll get into the details of the recent violence in a minute, but first, tell us why Americans should care.
Well, it's important that America cares because about 25% of Nigerian oil comes to the U.S. On a daily basis, and that fuels a lot of the U.S. daily average lifestyle, especially in the auto industry. I mean, the lifestyle of using cars and so we provide you gas, we provide you also heating gas in your homes, and so you can't afford to ignore Nigeria because it's a regular source of fossil fuel to the U.S. But secondly, also is the fact that Nigeria has a very critical importance in Africa. It has 150 million people, which is almost half of U.S. population. So if this crisis boils over and there is a war or a crisis that is unmanageable, we are talking about a population that can easily overrun the entire West African region up to almost North Africa. So I do not see how the U.S. Should ignore this. And, of course, people in this country cannot afford to ignore this. So we'll be talking about a situation that will be nothing compared to what you saw in Rwanda, which is still assailing and assaulting human sensibilities today. If Nigeria falls apart in terms of this crisis that we're seeing now.
And we are opening the phones now for any Nigerians in our listening area, and we know you're out there. What have you been hearing about the political crisis back home? Give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692 for Nigerians, or post a comment on our show page at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And Omoyele, remind people what happened earlier this month in Jos, the capital of Plateau State, which sits on the border of the Christian South and the Muslim North in Nigeria.
Well, what has happened is that there has been a lot of crisis dating back to a long time ago when they were creating local government in Plateau State under the military dictator Babangida. So he created what they called the Jos North local government. And the predominantly Hausa Fulani people believe that is their own local government, belongs to them. But in 2007, in this widespread, massive rigging of elections, a candidate that did not win, that was not approved of by the people in the area, actually it was 2008, was imposed on them, and that was how the crisis started. And it's been back and forth in terms of killings between the predominantly Christian population in the area and the Muslims, the Hausa Fulanis. So it is not very much a religious crisis as much as it is some kind of an ethnic crisis and an economic crisis, because it's also about control over land and resources in the area. And they had this very peculiar problem of indigenes and settlers. The indigenes believe they own everything in the area, and they believe other people are settlers in the area. So this is what has been going on. And the killings have been going on in Jos, by the way. It's been on both sides. And it is important to let people know that it's not just a Christian versus Muslim kind of problem. Nigeria is mired in series of crises, of different dimensions.
In other words, it's not just Muslim radicals with some ties to Al-Qaeda, as I think it's been portrayed in some of the press in the United States.
No, not at all.
Massacring Christians.
That's not true. It is not some kind of radical Muslim uprising in Nigeria. No, and this is very important to make this clear, because the Muslims also have evidence of Muslims who have been killed, the Hausa Fulanis, and they were stuffed into wells, and about 150 of them were killed in the last attack. So this is the kind of back and forth reprisal attack. It is not the truth is that there are similar crisis going on in the southwest in a place called Ife and Modakeke, in populations that are comprised of Muslims and Christians, and nobody calls that a radical Islamic uprising. There's the Boko Haram uprising that took place in Maiduguri recently, of which the local Muslim youths in the area were fighting the elites over inequitable distribution of resources and corruption by their own Muslim elites. So this is what is going on in Nigeria, and it's important that people understand this appropriately. And it's that so that we do not misinterpret what is going on in Nigeria to give a kind of connotation that we'll see Nigeria on the map of a country that is going to be cornered pretty soon. I have no doubt that the crisis, the way the crisis is festering in Nigeria, might attract radical Islamic groups to come into Nigeria, of course, wherever there's crisis of that dimension, and they find a way to patch with cause, they will come in. There's no question about it. But this does not have any origin in an Al-Qaeda type kind of intervention.
Ibrahim in Manhattan, thank you for calling. You're on WNYC. Hi, Ibrahim. Ibrahim, you're on right now. All right, we're going to come back to you, Ibrahim. We're on a delay, so you need to listen on your phone. Osita in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi, good morning.
Thank you for calling.
Okay, here is my comment. Why should United States care about Nigeria when Nigerians do not care about, they don't care about themselves? You live in Nigeria, you're driving, you got pulled over. You've gotten to the point that when you are asked for bribe for something that doesn't make sense, and then you get to the point that you have to give bribe for them to give you change. Say, for example, they ask maybe like 20 naira. You don't have to, and they give them 50 naira.
I understand.
They give you change.
So there's corruption there, and the point you're
corruption?
Making...
I'm sorry, say that again.
And so the larger point you're making is what?
My larger point is this. You have to care for yourself before you ask others. Nigeria, in my opinion, the level of corruption is a problem. It seems like nobody cares because the corruption is not under the table. It's on the table.
Osita, thank you very much. So, Omoyele, what do you think the United States' role is in helping to calm the situation?
I understand what that speaker is trying to say. But the problem is not about the little corruption happening in Nigeria. Of course, there's corruption everywhere, and I'm not using that to justify corruption in Nigeria. But let me give you a bigger example. Like recently, Nigeria is going towards election in 2011. okay? And the U.S. sent the representative from the State Department to Nigeria to help mediate in some of the political crisis going on with regards to President Yar'Adua's health situation. Guess where he shows up? He shows up in the home of a former dictator who is responsible for about 90% of our economic and political and religious problem today, Ibrahim Babangida, a former general whose wife, his wife just died. Those are the kind of intervention that makes people think that U.S. has to care, you know, especially on the side of morality, on the side of equity, on the side of justice. If U.S. pitches his tent with Babangida in the next election, they should hold themselves responsible for whatever becomes of Nigeria or doesn't become of Nigeria. Those are the kind of, and you cannot say that a country that is taking 25% of its oil from a country, you know, oil that is referred to as sweet crude, the best in the business, you know, in the industry, should not care about where it is coming from, especially when it is some of the problems that are in Nigeria today are created by this unbridled corruption that is fueled by petrodollars. And a lot of U.S. officials, I mean, businessmen and corporate officials have been indicted in some of this corruption we are talking about, which is not a 20 cents kind of bribery. The one that, you know, some of them have been indicted and jailed in Texas recently by the Justice Department. So these guys are big players in the Nigerian oil industry. They are involved in corruption. They are involved in some of these even local politics and crises. They are involved in imposing, you know, criminals and within the Nigerian political system. We must hold them accountable too, because they are playing in the Nigerian world.
This is WNYC, FM and AM. I'm Brian Lehrer with Omoyele Sowore. He is the publisher of SaharaReporters.com, which covers Nigeria and other African news. And we're talking about the emerging crisis in Nigeria and why it is of relevance to the rest of the world. Before we go to more calls, and our lines are absolutely jammed, listeners, if you didn't think there were a lot of Nigerians in New York, there certainly are, and many of them are calling our show right now. And we'll get back to the calls in a minute. But, Omoyele, you said to me in another context one day that you see Nigeria as, in a way, the next Pakistan. What did you mean by that?
Well, you know, it's very simple. I told you that the crisis is not, it didn't have its origin in Islamic radicalism. But the radicalism, Islamic radicalism, is finding its way into the crisis. And a lot of parts of Nigeria, especially the northern parts, are becoming ungoverned right now because of the ineffectiveness of the government in Abuja, that is the national capital. So, and when we have this kind of enclaves of radicals who are getting funded, you know, by small Islamic groups, you know, across from the Middle East, you are going to have small enclaves of Islamic groups and tribal regions in Nigeria, and that will make it become a Pakistan. That is what I mean, and that's the explanation that people need to know, and that is what is dangerous. Again, I'm saying this didn't start as an Islamic radicalism issue, but as Islamic radicalism is finding its way into the crisis of, the security crisis in Nigeria right now, and that is dangerous.
Chicho in Manhattan. You're on WNYC. Hello, Chicho.
Hello there. Thanks for having me. I'm very pleased to get my my colleague from Nigeria. I am from Cameroon, and I'm a journalist as well. I was just going to ask or find out from my brother who's talking, who is your guest on the show, if he read an article by one of his compatriots on the New York Times last week. And the person who published that, wrote the article, was saying in a nutshell that the Western media or the international media should stop exaggerating the situation on the crisis in Nigeria. He thought there was an exaggeration from Western media and that Nigerians should be allowed to single-handedly, if I'm not exaggerating, handle the situation. I don't know if he read that article and what would be his reaction to it. And secondly, I just want to say, yes, I think he's right. The international community, the West and the United States in particular, needs to show interest in the Nigerian crisis.
Thank you. Omoyele, what do you say to Chicho?
Well, you know, I'm one of the persons who is tired of blaming the international media for the crisis in Africa. It is what the media does everywhere. Whenever they find a place that has juicy stories, they move in there. I'm not in any way excusing some of the responsible reporting of events in Africa that is born out of ignorance by Western journalists. But largely, I don't think there's an exaggeration of what is happening in Nigeria right now, because it's the same thing that local media is reporting, the same thing that we are reporting even here, or even under reporting, because of sensitivities here, that is happening in Nigeria. And the truth is that Nigeria doesn't have leaders that are capable of solving Nigeria's problem. That is why the whole world should pay attention to what is going on in Nigeria. Like I said, if the media does not report what it doesn't see, it might exaggerate what it saw. And everybody, they do that everywhere. They do that in the U.S. They do that in Europe. But to solely blame the international media on Nigeria's problem or exaggerating it is something that I do not agree with in that article. But the truth is that there's a leadership crisis. There's a crisis of, you know, a leadership that's incapable of rising up to the crisis in Nigeria, and that is one of the biggest problems facing Nigeria today. And that is why you see people are looking in different directions on the outside to see who can step in before it gets too late, because it might get too late. As we speak now, the president of Nigeria has been on hospital bed for months. He didn't show up. He's not making any kind of appearance, except, you know, maybe an apparition where they claim that they've seen him and nobody has really heard from him physically. And that this is a political crisis that is brewing, and it requires intervention of, you know, the major powers in the world who are doing business in Nigeria. Nobody should ignore that. There's there are billions of dollars of business going out of Nigeria on a daily basis, from the West. So the West cannot ignore Nigeria because it's the apple of soup.
Omoyele, the U.S. has a stake in the political climate in Nigeria, not just because of the oil relationship. People remember the foiled bomb plot by a Nigerian national on a flight headed for Detroit on Christmas. We last had you on the show to talk about reaction to the increased airline security measure imposed on Nigerians following that incident. What is the status of U.S. diplomatic relations with Nigeria?
I think it's as strong as ever. In fact, the U.S. Has proposed recently, and I saw this on the wires, that it will have diplomatic presence in Kano, which they used to have before, and they scaled back, and now they're going to have that. So I've seen a lot of diplomatic activities in Nigeria. We've not seen President Obama go to Nigeria yet for reasons best known to him, but we have heard, you know, information that the acting president of Nigeria will be visiting the U.S. pretty soon to meet with Obama privately or secretly, whichever way. So I think the diplomatic interest is high, and I think the U.S. understand that they must keep control over the way Nigeria is governed. Like I said, what the U.S. cannot afford on its hand is another, you know, Pakistan-type place in Africa, especially a place with 150 million. But I must not forget to also say that, you know, this crisis is largely due to leadership, is largely due to irresponsible management of resources, inequitable distribution of resources. Majority of the army from where the Islamics or all the crisis taps from are young people who are under the age of 18 and, you know, who are within the age of 18 and 21, and there are about, you know, 20 to 40 million of them. They have no jobs, they have no education, people have no health. About 70% of Nigerians live under $1 a day, and that in itself is a recipe for a disaster of unimaginable proportion.
One more call. Ibrahim in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello, Ibrahim.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
A great show. I have a couple of points I want to make. First, let me just start with the Nigerian shoe bomber you refer to. I don't hear people refer to the British shoe bomber when they talk about Joseph Reed. I don't hear about they talk about the nationality of Najibul Azazi. I don't hear about people talk about Jose Pedea or about his nationality. But each time they mention Umar Farouk, Nigerian shoe bomber comes after that. And I think it's a problem going back to what the guy was talking about, Western media reporting about Nigeria and Africa as a whole. And then going back to your guest, trying to equate Nigeria to Pakistan or saying it might drive in that direction, that might be true, but at this point it's totally ridiculous. You have some states in Nigeria who have Sharia law. And we've never seen Islamic fundamentalism go and plant their base over there. Now, the whole problem with Nigeria and Africa as a whole, now you talk about 150 people dying in Nigeria. I'm not minimizing the death. Look at what is happening in Congo. Look at what is happening in Sudan. So that $1 a day is not only does not only apply to Nigeria, it applies to the whole of Africa. And this goes back to colonialism. Now, the effects of colonialism have not been fully addressed in Africa. And until we address that as Africans, Africa is continuously going to be where it is right now. Now, by that I mean, now there was the divide and conquer mentality which the British colonialists implemented in Africa. You know, they take people from certain parts of the country who are in the minority, they put them on top of the majority. It happened in Sierra Leone, it happened in Ghana, it happened across Africa. Now, the problem in Nigeria is corruption has been addressed, which as we talked about, not been addressed, mismanagement, the inequitable wealth distribution, the weather, because the Fulanis, these are cattle herders, most of them. And they move from one spot, they're nomadic, they move from spot to spot. Now, the main problem with Nigeria, Nigeria exports oil. They cannot even provide gas for their people. Why? You talk about Sani Abacha, you talk about Babangida. Where are these guys putting all their money? And this is the issue I have a problem with. Because all these monies that these people are stealing are in Western banks, in America, in Switzerland, in England, in France. Why is nobody saying anything? Why doesn't the international community come together? Look at what Iran is going through with, in terms of financial sanctions and all that because of terrorist activities. Why can't this mentality be applied to Africa so that Africa gets itself out of this mess and becomes finally independent and controls its resources? Because if you know if you steal the money, you don't have any place to put it, that discourages you from stealing.
Ibrahim, thank you for all of that. And I'm going to get our guest to address a little of it before we run out of time. Thank you very much. He said a lot there. Let me ask you to address that last point, that Nigeria is one of the largest producers of crude oil in the world, fifth largest oil supplier to the United States, as you pointed out. And yet there is fuel scarcity. People wait in long lines for fuel in an oil exporting country. What's going on?
The truth is, we've said and exhausted that there's mismanagement, there's corruption, there's irresponsible leadership in it. But there's nothing else to say. Regarding the issue of Africa and where Africa is headed or where it's been, I would say let's make that the topic for another symposium discussion in the future, Brian. And I want to ask that, you know, we get more time to Africans to discuss issues of Africa. There's a lot of huge African population here. The same attention you pay to the Jews, you pay to the Irish, you know, you should start thinking about giving us more airtime too, so that we can discuss these issues. But most importantly, we have to also look inward in Africa. We have to look at our leaders who make these decisions, who are responsible for the corruption, for poverty in the land, for misgovernance, and we must find a way to bring them to account. We must also look at ourselves and how we have become so complacent and fearful of bringing about change on the continent of Africa. Instead, any little time, a chance we have, we run out of Africa and we come to the West, you know, where we provide bulk of the labor that is responsible for taking care of a lot of the issues in the West as well. I'm also guilty of this. But again, I've made it very clear, and I'll insist again that Nigeria's biggest problem is, of course, leadership, mismanagement, it's corruption, and also this international conspiracy between Nigerian leaders and the corporate world in duping Nigeria of its daily resources, which also has to be addressed within a larger framework of discussion. Oh. And I hope we will continue this discussion. I agree with my friends, and I thank you for bringing me on your show, and we hope to continue discussion another day.
And we've had you before, and we will have you again, and it's always good to have you. Moyole Sowore, publisher of SaharaReporters.com. Thank you for coming on today.
Thank you.
And listeners, now, those of you who are not Nigerian know a little bit more about what's going on there and why it may be relevant to everyone else. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, a quick follow-up Friday segment with maybe a little apology to some of our taxi driver listeners out there. And then Newsweek revisits its own sexist past in a cover story and asks how far they have and haven't come. Stay with us.